You're listening to The Takeout.
Hello, CBSN audience. You're watching all this in one big grand presentation. Digital television. We love that. But for our super special podcast listeners, this is your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett. You already knew that. Steve Shigaris, world's greatest podcast sidekick, political director of CBS News. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Major.
And our most special guest, the first member of the Trump administration at the cabinet, or confirmable and confirmed, both really important, confirmable and confirmed, Mick Mulvaney.
Hello.
Director of the Office of Management and Budget. So, Mr. Director, we have three threshold questions.
This is the lightning round? Is that what this is?
No, it's not a lightning round.
Okay.
No, it's actually...
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah, it's the opposite of a lightning round. We really want you to sort of get into these questions and explain at length.
Was it 80 music?
Favorite movie? Favorite or most... Or one of your favorite movies.
Okay. But the rule on the movies, by the way, as a Georgetown graduate, it can't be The Exorcist, St. Elmo's Fire, No Way Out, or The Man with One Red Shoe.
None of those would make the list.
Okay, good. And... I'm glad Shaggy, that's of course his sidekick nickname, Shaggy, mentioned Georgetown because we're at the Tombs restaurant, right in the heart of Georgetown, right on the very edge of the Georgetown campus, because Mick Mulvaney, as I mentioned in our regular episode, during his misspent youth, was a student and exemplary graduate of Georgetown.
And what year did you graduate?
89.
Yeah, old. That's 5 years after I graduated from college, kids.
5 years before I graduated from college.
Oh, God, it's so depressing. Anyway, so do this for us. Movie, book, music.
Movie.
Movies.
Yeah, I give my kids that sort of that top list. It was somebody, it would be Caddyshack, Stripes, Animal House, and maybe the Blues Brothers. Yeah, do you see a trend there? So...
It's about all the same time period.
Yeah, and it's all the and Saturday Live group, so that's about it. So.
And then right on the edge, Dr. Zhivago, right?
I will watch it with my wife because that's what you do when you're married. But no, I'm into comedy. I like books. This actually, I think, made one of the stories when Bannon left that I have given out for years since I got to Congress. I give folks a book, and my favorite book of all time is A Man for All Seasons. St. Thomas More.
St. Thomas More.
So,
but you're also a fan of Atlas Shrugged.
I am, and have read it.
So I'm going to get...
Several times.
Give me a digression, Shaggy, just for a second. Eat a morsel, will you, for God's sake?
If he is Shaggy, does that make you Scooby-Doo?
In so many ways. So... in the Ayn Rand oeuvre, there are two books, in my opinion, Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged.
Right.
I am a huge, huge fan of the Fountainhead, and I believe it is vastly superior to Atlas Shrugged. I believe it. I think Atlas Shrugged is by far the most commercially successful and the most ideologically important of her two major books.
Yeah.
But I believe as a literature, and as literature that also drives a very straightforward and important political message, Fountainhead is much more successful.
Really? See, and I think the exact opposite. I think it's much more heavy-handed. It's a ham-fisted presentation of the same concepts that you see in Atlas Shrugged, but it's just not as finely woven. And I think you could look at her writing that I think Fountainhead preceded Atlas Shrugged by like 15 years, and I think she just got to be a better writer as she got older.
God, so there,
I,
Major.
I couldn't possibly disagree more.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God.
Okay.
I will. Everything you just said about the Fountainhead, I would say of Atlas Shrugged.
I think
Atlas Shrugged is so ham-handed, so obvious, so billboard in its... sledgehammer, repetitive, ideological drumbeat.
Which
that
one?
There is no subtlety to it at all.
Which one did you read first?
I read Fountainhead first.
See, and I read Atlas Shrugged first.
Okay, there you go.
So that may be what it is.
All right, we're done with our little Ayn Rand digression, Steve Shigaris, but still, stay
What's
on
left?
The sidelines.
Can we
please.
Just get to music, please?
Oh. Music.
Dire Straits.
Oh, beautiful,
wow.
Beautiful.
That's the first Dire Straits.
In fact, I still go.
Which album?
I was listening to Communique last night as I walked home. But I will go see Mark Knopfler tour now. I mean, I still see him. I do a lot of live music here. It's one of the nice things about being here. One of the few nice things about being here more frequently is you get a chance to go over and see some live music. Peter Welch and I, Democrat congressman from Vermont.
Have been... good guy. Smart guy.
I'm a big Colin Hay fan. I don't know if you...
Oh, yeah. Men at Work.
Men at Work.
Sure, yeah.
He's here. In fact, he's here next month, I think.
Who knew?
So live music is really good. I like a lot of real detailed guitar
music. What do you dig about Dire Straits?
It's just... The, he, the music is fantastic. I love the guitar style, his finger picking style, but also Mark Knopfler's turned into more of a storyteller as he's gotten older, and it's just some fantastic.
So when
stuff.
You were starting college, it was Money for Nothing. It was probably the big deal.
But
their original album, people don't know this. The original album, they could not get run over by a bus when they first started.
Charlotte, North Carolina, on the Making Movies tour.
They took around cassette tapes back when cassette. Look it up. Look it up, my millennials. God knows I love you. Look it up. A cassette tape.
He's right? old. Their demo was very old.
So old. They went around all of L.A. to every record studio dropping off a cassette. Nobody would pay them a dime.
It was actually London, not L.A.
It was London?
Yeah, London. British band.
Okay.
And their demo tape was Sultans of Swing, and they still couldn't get a contract.
Right.
So,
became one of the great...
Oh, of all time. Well, certainly Money for Nothing, Brothers in Arms was. But I remember Brothers in Arms was the very first album that I bought on CD. It was May of 1985 when CDs were just coming out, and they were outrageously expensive. I think it was $20 or something back then.
Right.
But a fabulous album, and I just listened to that forever.
So I'm fascinated.
So let me. What do you come down on Steely Dan?
Big fan. Like
Walter
Dan.
Becker, rest in peace.
Just passed away. By the way, do you know who the first drummer was for Steely Dan? I am not making that. You can look this one up. I'm going to pull one on
Mick Mulvaney, pull it.
Chevy Chase.
What?
Not making that up. Donald Fagen just wrote a book about 2 years ago, and I was reading it, and he mentions that when he and Becker first started hanging out at whatever, they went to a small college in New York, they were playing local gigs and bars and stuff, and Chevy Chase, who went to school there, would sit in on drums with them.
Huh. Whatever happened to that guy?
Never heard of him again. I think there's a car named after him.
Don.
A car in a town out in Maryland.
And... your life outside of budget work.
I have a life outside of budget work.
Does it?
Do you? Not anymore. No. The best thing about this job in terms of what I used to do is I don't have to raise money. And when I go home.
When you were Congress, you had to raise money.
I had to raise money all the time. I don't have to be nice to people I don't like, which you have to do when you're in elected office. But when I go home, and this is the big difference, when I go home, I'm home. And I don't get home nearly as much as I used to. But when I'm home, I'm home. You might have to call, make a phone call or two for work, but that's about it. But you can just be there. You don't have to go to every single Rotary meeting, every single festival, and you actually get a chance to spend quality time at home, and I like that.
Before we go, I get this question all the time. What is Trump really like?
Like what you see on TV. Absolutely. I mean, that the man has absolutely no pretense about him. What you see on TV is what we see in the cabinet meetings. It's what we, he is what he is. And what you see is what you get with Donald Trump. He does not put on any masks like so many politicians do. It is what it is.
Is that good or bad?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's honest. I know how to deal with it, that's for sure. I mean, with a lot of politicians, I don't know where I stand, even the folks that I'm friends with. With Donald Trump, there is, again, no pretense.
And no diversion and no double talk.
He does jump around a lot. If you sit and talk to him, you've seen this, he will jump from topic to topic. But people who think that he doesn't have an understanding of the issues do so at their own peril. I'll tell a story, and then we're running out of time. But I had mentioned something in my very first presentation to him on the budget on a very small piece. We're going through a list of things, and I was going to change the way that we were going to pay one country for their military aid. Small proposal, didn't rise the level of ever making the public. 8 weeks later, I'm having a conversation with him about something entirely different. He goes, now, a couple weeks ago, you mentioned about changing the program for that country. Do you ever do that or not? Okay? And he's done that to me a dozen times. There was one time I said this program cost $113 million. 6 weeks later, I'm in the White House talking about it. It's $110 million. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, a couple weeks ago, he told me it was $113. Now you say it's $110. What is it? I'm not making this stuff up. So, yes, he does jump around. Yes, it appears that he might have a short attention span, but I can tell you he is listening and taking in everything that you say.
That suggests a level of granularity that is not often attributed to this president.
Like I say, I've seen it firsthand on dozens of occasions.
Has it made you sweat?
Yeah. Oh, no. I actually heard that going into the interview was that he remembers numbers. That you tell him a number, it better be right because it will lock in once he hears it.
That's the voice of Mick Mulvaney, the director of Office of Management and Budget, our most special guest here at the Takeout Podcast and our Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. Steve Shigaris, political director of CBS, world's greatest podcast sidekick. We thank you.
Thank you.
You can eat some food or what?
No. Yes.
His fish and chip are cold. So
totally cold. Mick Mulvaney, extraordinarily hot. That's just all I'm going to say. And you've been listening to...
I'm not sure what that
in
means.
In an OMB sense. What? In an Office of Management and Budget sense.
It means what you want it to mean.
You've been listening to The Takeout.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Fari, Katiana Krachenko, and CBS News Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Takeout Podcast. That's at Takeout Podcast. And for more, visit takeoutpodcast.com.
That was good.